welcome to Kick Arts with Emma and Stephen, New Zealand's comprehensive arts show brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcast, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz. On tonight's show, we catch up with writer Pip Murdoch and talk about her latest book, Relative Stranger. We chat in studio with three of the cast bringing the show Underestimated to North Shore Music Theatre at the beginning of October. And then we hear from Emma and Michael Self, two Auckland performers who have just begun studies at Bird College in the UK. But to start tonight, and in recognition of Te Wiki o Te Reo, Māori Language Week, here's Dave Dobbin's classic, Know My Rā.
Ke te aroha au ki a koe, e tano a tiane e tau whenua. Rawa kore mai koe ki konei, ka toro te ringa ki tō kaha. Nau mai rā, ki te papa, papa. Pari poro ka wiho te ao kua ruha I te pakanga
was Dave Dobbin's Know My Rā. So, I'm joined tonight without Stephen, our usual co-host, because he's away with his production of Chess, but we are catching up with him later on.
Yes.
But I've got Patrick at the board tonight. How are you, Patrick?
I am stressed. Like, last week I was only doing board and I could focus on this. Now I have to think while talking and you know, I'm a man, I can't multitask.
Okay, so those of you that are maybe listening for the first time, Patrick is our intern, and this is week 8, Patrick?
Oh, COVID screwed up my thinking of how many weeks.
Right, so I think this is about week 8. So this is Patrick's first time running the board and co-hosting. So, you know, if there's a few technical glitches, but there won't be because he's fantastic. But now, let's get on with our first interview. We're joined on the phone with author Pip Murdoch. Pip, are you there?
I am, thank you, Emma. I'm right here. Yeah.
Fantastic. How are you this evening?
I'm extremely well, thank you, and delighted to be on your show. Yeah.
Fantastic. So tell us a little bit about your latest book.
Okay, well, it's my only book. It's a memoir, and it's the story of my relinquishing a child for adoption in 1970, and then a long journey to try and reconnect with him from about 1990 onwards. It took a wee while, and then ended up where we are now, which is, we're nearly 50 years on from when he was born. So, yeah, it's been quite a long trip.
Very much so. And what was it that made you decide that you wanted to document this journey in book form?
Okay, so the first half I decided he was my audience. I would just write for him and explain how it was for me as a young woman with no resources really to be able to bring up a child, and in an era when being a single mother was not seen as a good way to be. And so I wrote the first half for him. And when I was writing it and telling people about it, and everybody would say excitedly, "Have you met him? You know, what's it been like?" And I realised that people's perception of reunions was quite different to the reality that it sometimes is. So I felt really impelled to write the second half.
Beautiful. So, obviously, we've got a reviewer reading the book who has actually read the book, who did tell Steve and I that it was fantastic. I haven't read it yet. I'm looking forward to getting it off her and having a read. So, is it a spoiler alert to say I'm assuming you've met your son now?
Absolutely. No, it's not a spoiler alert. The journey in doing that was quite a complicated journey, and I think, yes, I mean, the first half was easy to write because it was about my story and about how, you know, a lot of it is around being late teens, early 20s in Christchurch in 1968, 69, and a lot of people have said that resonates with them. People of my age really enjoy that part because I've been fairly explicit about what it was like. It was easy to write. The second half was much harder to write because it involved other people. It involved my son, David. It involved his adoptive parents and family. And it involved my present family. And so it was all a little bit more difficult to actually be quite as free and easy with my thinking.
Right.
So, yeah. Mm.
And who do you think that this book, or who do you hope this book will resonate with?
Well, it already resonates with hundreds of people because in the year I had David, there were nearly 3,000 babies given up for adoption unrelated adopted families.
Wow. So Patrick and I just looked at each other.
One year. That was sort of the zenith of it, you know. When the pill had not yet come into popular use, it was very difficult for a single woman to get the pill. And the sexual revolution had started, so there was a lot of time for girls to get pregnant. So in that year in particular, there were nearly 3,000. So all those all those adoptive children. It's aimed at them. It's aimed at the birth mothers. No, very few people have written about the story from a birth mother's perspective. And it's all the adopted families. You know, it's everybody. And everybody's got a story. Everybody of my age will tell me a story about either their sister or, you know, them or brothers, you know, aunties, cousins. Yeah, it's a huge audience, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. And what's your plan now? Is there going to be future books? Has this sparked a new journey for you to become a further author?
I would love to. I am doing a bit of doodling now, and I would love to be able to produce another book. This one took 10 years to actually go from woe to, you know, to woe to go to woe, and it takes me a while. So if there is another book, it will take a long time. Yeah. But yeah, I'm playing around with that idea now. But it will be a novel, not memoir.
Right, a novel, great.
So, Pip, talk us through this whole 10-year process, because obviously with your first book, how was it getting it published and all that?
That was a lengthy process. I had written it and given it to a publisher, and she looked at it, and there was a lot missing, and so she rewrote a bit. So it took a long time for me to rewrite it a second time, and to get it to a point where it could be shared with anybody else. The original idea was just a small audience, and I've been bowled over by the response. I was very lucky. Dame Fiona Kidman has written the blurb for the back, and she very kindly launched it for me. So I've had lovely backing, and it started with short, doing short courses and programs to learn to write, and went from there.
What a great way to have a history documented, though, for David and yourself to have had the ability, you know, the opportunity to write the history down.
Oh yeah, it's been absolutely outstanding. Yeah, it's been fun. Yeah.
And where can people find your book, Pip?
They can find it pretty well. So it's Relative Strangers is the title, which I was very pleased when I dreamt that one up. And it's available. Most bookshops should be able to access it for you if you can't get it. A lot of the independent bookshops have carry it. I think the Women's Bookshop in Auckland, because you're Auckland-based, aren't you?
We are Auckland-based, and the Women's Bookshop, of course, on Ponsonby Road, a very popular bookshop.
Yeah, and Unity in Wellington have always carried it. And if they don't carry it, they can order it through Nationwide Books.
Fantastic.
Is the distributor.
We will put some links up on our Facebook following the show this evening. So thank you so much, Pip, for spending some time with us on Sunday night. And as I said earlier, our reviewer is in the next couple of weeks to review the book. So we'll let you know when that's happening so you can have a listen as well, Pip.
And, excellent. Thank you. Yeah.
No, thank you very much, and have a good rest of your Sunday.
Okay, thanks so much, and I hope the rest of your program goes well.
Thanks so much. See you later.
Righto. Right, bye-bye.
Wow, Patrick, 3,000 babies adopted in 1 year.
I know, that's like an insane amount.
It is, in 1969, I wasn't, you definitely weren't born. I was nearly born, but not quite. Now, we need to introduce these people in front of us. So yes. We're joined in the studio by three amazingly talented young performers. So, from Underestimated,
we have
Annan.
Sorry.
Oh, see, you're doing
we
it.
We were
now.
Practicing before as well, and I thought I had it.
There you go.
We Annan. Also have Stella and Janaya.
Hi.
So, Janaya, let's start with you. Tell us, what is Underestimated?
Underestimated is a whole lot of people who are really passionate for musical theatre, and they've come together to create a show for everyone else. And we've noticed since lockdown happened, a lot of things a bit hard for people. So this show is not only for us, but it's also about everyone else who's lost a show, who's lost jobs, who's going through it pretty rough. And we just want to share what we're really good at and make everyone happy.
Fantastic. And Stella, how many people are involved in the show? How many performers have you got?
It's quite a small cast. We only have 8 people. And it's a small cast, and we've become really close, and now we're really good friends, and yeah.
Great. So, Annan, tell us, how old are the cast members? Are you the youngest?
Yes, I am.
And you're how old?
11.
You're 11, and who's the oldest? Janaya?
Maddie. 11 to 16 years old.
11 to 16. And, of course, it's on at North Shore Music Theatre.
Mm-hmm.
And is it in their club rooms?
Yes, yep. It's in their club rooms at Birkenhead.
So when did this originally start? Because it didn't just start after lockdown, did it?
No, it started at, I think, near the start of this year. And I'm pretty sure auditions were last year.
We've been together for so long right now, we literally have lost track of time. But
so it was originally meant to be on when?
August.
April. It was going to be in the first April holidays.
Oh, yeah. It was going to be in the first April holidays, and then it was postponed because of the first lockdown.
Yeah.
And it was going to be in August?
Yeah.
But then got postponed because of the second lockdown.
And now we're doing it in October.
And Janaya, this isn't the first show for you that's been postponed / actually cancelled this year.
No.
You've had a pretty full-on journey with your shows.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the other show that you had that was cancelled, because that was a pretty big deal.
I've had, like, 2 shows. The first one was the Takapuna Grammar School play production, Les Miserables, that was cancelled.
And, of course, you were playing Eponine in that.
Yeah. And then an awesome group that Mr. Dill formed, Broadway Squad Elite, High School Musical, was cancelled as well. So,
yeah, Takapuna Grammar has definitely had it hard this year with all their cancellations, that's for sure. What about you, Stella? Have you had anything affected because of COVID? Apart from Underestimated?
No, not really.
Not really? Apart from school?
Yeah.
How was lockdown for you, being at home all that time?
I actually kind of enjoyed it because I didn't have to wake up early, and I could, like, stay in bed all day, and yeah.
That was me. That was me in lockdown.
You were in bed all day?
Yeah.
Nice. Nice.
I think we can all say
doing a lot of work, Patrick.
Yeah, in bed doing work.
And what about you? How much have you been affected by lockdown?
No, not really. Oh, it's probably done better for me than it has worse. It's definitely got me outside more. I've probably lost about 5 kgs.
So what have you been doing outside?
Yeah, that's like the opposite
walking
of what lockdown's supposed to be.
Running, being a maniac as 11-year-olds do. I like taking hikes and I like singing to the neighbours.
I'm sure the neighbours would have loved that, as long as it wasn't too early in the morning.
Yeah, can you talk me through that? Was that like you in your room singing loud enough that the neighbours could hear? Would you like carol knocking the door
open
so that they could hear you on purpose?
Yeah.
Oh, I want him as my neighbour.
Yeah, I'd be happy to be serenaded through the window.
We can flat together and have performances.
Yeah, that would be amazing. So tell us, what kind of music what will the audience expect by coming along? What kind of music have we got?
We have different, like, varieties of songs, but it's more of a cabaret.
Mm-hmm.
And we have everyone with their different special talents come out, and they do their songs and perform them, and then everyone comes together and sings different songs, which is fun. But I don't think it really has a genre of what it's based around. I think it's just based around on...
It's based on kids.
Like, yeah, it's based on us just having fun as kids. And
yeah.
trying to share our love for musical theatre.
That's why it's called Underestimated, because it's...
Kids get underestimated a lot of how much talent they have in this world. And it's really frustrating sometimes because you're just like, I'm here. But, we've had a lot of fun working on this and excited.
So we actually have a song that would be performed in the show. This is the original Broadway cast, I think, that we're just about to play. But this is Tell Her from 13, the musical.
Tell her you thought about what happened. Tell her you haven't slept at night. Tell her although you made a huge mistake, you want to make it right. Tell her you know you aren't perfect. Tell her you've waited way too long. Tell her you're sorry. Tell her you mean it. Tell her you just were wrong.
Was Tell Her from the musical 13.
I love that show. I love Jason Robert Brown and all his shows. He's a very cool composer.
It's one of those shows too that, I mean, it's written about 13-year-olds, but predominantly it's played by older teenagers, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember North Shore Music Theatre actually did the show, I want to say four years ago, yep. And I think it was played with 15, 16-year-olds.
Yeah. So, back to our in-studio guests from Underestimated. Tell us, let's start with you, Annan. Is this your first production?
It's my first production meeting new people because I've done a school show before, which was Seussical Junior.
Oh, I love Seussical. Yeah.
Oh. I was Jojo.
Oh, cool.
Adorable.
Were you alone in the universe?
Yeah, I guess.
Cute.
But this is my first time actually, like, meeting new people.
So first community theatre.
Yeah. And it, I guess, through theatre, it helps you make more friends.
Yeah.
Great.
What about you, Stella?
I'm actually quite new to musical theatre. This is my first proper show. I've done dancing since I was three. But I've never done a proper show before. So this is my first real show.
So how did you find out about the show? Like, what made you want to come and be a part of this thing?
My mum saw the post on Facebook, and I saw her looking at it, and I asked about it, and she asked me if I wanted to have a go, so I thought that I should audition, and I wasn't, like, really sure about it, but now I'm really happy that I saw it.
You've got the bug.
it's always only the one show that will get everyone hooked.
Fantastic. And silly question, Janaya, is this your first show?
Oh, my God. I feel so old right now. No, it's not.
So I met Janaya 6 years ago, probably, for Evita.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah. When you were much younger. But since then, Janaya's been part of Junior Theatre New Zealand. She's been in Newsies and Moana Junior with us at Junior Theatre. And she's quite the little starlet.
Janaya was actually in my first musical ever.
Yes, celebrating the musical with North Shore Music Theatre.
Like 6 years ago as well.
That was like we were together. Boom.
And the rest is history.
Yeah.
But Janaya, you've been doing lots of exciting things with your singing. Mm-hmm. So obviously you've got Janaya.singer, which is your Insta.
Yeah.
And then you've got a YouTube channel as well, which is?
Just Janaya.
Just Janaya.
Yeah.
Not just Janaya.
No. Just the name Janaya.
Janaya, exactly. So don't try and look for just Janaya.
I know, I always say that and then I have to realise it's Janaya, the name.
And last year you were a really big part of the Youth Pacifica girl group. What was their name, the three of you?
Pacific Divas was the concert.
That's right. Yeah. And you were with the youth version.
The youth group. So we came from SUSO, Auckland Secondary School Singing Competition, and we were the final soloists, and we got picked to perform together. And we were, like, all soloists, and we all came together, and we were supposed to be doing harmonies, and we're just like, ah! But it turned out really good. I loved it.
And, of course, you've been part of Coca-Cola Christmas in the Park.
Yes.
So there we go. This is a pretty big star in our midst at the moment. And how old are you?
15.
A star at 15. There we go. So, Stella, I'm going to ask you the next question. What is your favourite song that is being done by you or by someone else in Underestimated?
I have to say Anything You Can Do, because it's one of the most fun things I've ever done, and I love arguing with people.
Mainly me. We're arguing together.
And it's really fun to learn. And it's just really upbeat. And I love it.
Great. And what about you, Annan? What's your favourite part of the show?
Halftime? Probably Fly Before You Fall is my favourite song.
What's that from?
Yeah.
It's by Cynthia Erivo. And we all sing it together.
Yeah.
Oh, we just spoiled that.
And why do you like that? What makes that your favourite?
I guess it's just a really nice song and it's got a great flow to it. It's nice, soothing. Yeah.
Okay. And to finish the three off, Janaya, what's your favourite part of the show? Going home at night? No? Okay.
No. I actually quite like staying.
You like staying
at the musical place. My favourite song would probably be Fly Before You Fall, as well as Annan, because it's got such a deep message to everyone, and I feel like somehow, some way, everyone can relate to it because it's very, what's the word, meaningful.
Yeah.
Oh. So tell us a little bit about the process of putting this show together. Who are your artistic team? Who's telling you what to do?
So mainly Georgia Dowdy, the creative team.
Yeah.
And we have Kate and we've got Talsala, our musical director, and we've got Zoe, the choreographer.
Because this was a new thing Emma Carr has started up, which was that people my age in their late teens would be teaching the younger ones. And, you know, I think it's, the, you know, they want
it's
to
It's an intern's kind of training ground for the under 25s, right?
Imagine being an intern.
Who does that, Patrick? I bet they don't all look like Patrick Starr. But anyway, enough in jokes. And so what is it, if you could say one thing, if they're listening tonight, your artistic team, if there was something you wanted to say to them, because they're listening, what do you think you'd want to say to them?
You're a great team, and I've really enjoyed having this show with you and being there. And it's great that we're doing the show.
Mm. Nice.
Thank you so much for helping us, well, especially me, take risks and, like, get out of my bubble and everything. And now I'm much more confident and I'm really happy with everything. Thank you.
Yeah, and, like, thank you for showing us and giving us your knowledge of what you know about the musical theatre world and having so much fun with you. It's absolutely amazing, and thank you.
So, next question then. I keep coming up with all these different questions, don't I?
Yeah, you're carrying me at the moment.
That's all right. You can focus on the board. So tell us, for kids your age or kids wanting to get into music theatre, is this something that you would recommend? Like, Stella, this is your first time doing a show. Is this the start of something that you're going to keep on doing? Would you be recommending to your friends that they come along and do a show in the future with you?
Yes, definitely. I think it's a really fun thing to do, even if you're not that
keen.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if you're not that keen or advanced or anything, or not that confident, you get settled in really well, and it's a fun first
timer.
Yeah.
And it's always, like, fun because, like, you don't have to be perfect to join. Like, you don't have to always be like, oh, I have to be able to do this, because you can always learn it on the way and you can always improve. Only one way up.
Great. Oh, we're looking at, are we expecting Anna to give us a piece of advice whether people should do this or not? What do you think you've learned the most from doing this show?
I've learnt that I've learnt to be more confident in myself, and that you can do anything if you believe in yourself.
Nice. What have you learnt?
The first thing I've learned is to always take risks, even if and if you make mistakes while you're doing one of your numbers, make sure you don't show it. Strong and wrong.
So thank you, Zoe. Who says strong and wrong?
Zoe.
So that's a Zoeism?
Yes.
Okay, yep. Cool. I was just about to, that was my next question. Do they have pet sayings? So Zoeism is strong and wrong.
Yeah.
Has Georgia got an ism?
They all say, no, I lie, instead of, no, I lied.
Or Maddie says all the time, ciao, anyways. So every single time we're on stage, we finish a song, she's like, and Georgia's like, okay, we're done. And then now Annan and Aiden and everyone else is saying it. I'm just sitting there like, Maddie, what have you done?
Being directed by Georgia, though, I can confirm that no, I lie is a common saying. I remember for Tyler's show last year, she'd be like, okay, so this is the dance move. And then she, like 10 minutes later, she'd go, no, I lie, and then she'll change it.
Yeah.
So by the end, we had like five different dances for one number.
We're kind of used to it,
Georgia.
Now,
sorry, Georgia.
Yeah, we're roasting her at the moment.
We're not love roasting you, Georgia.
My goodness. So, have you got a question, young man?
Yes, I do. What is your most memorable performing experience over all your years?
That's a good one. Janae, what's your most memorable performing experience?
Even though the show wasn't, like, being able to perform, like be able to be shown to an audience, I felt like Les Mis was one of my most memorable rehearsals, I guess. It was just, it felt so good and everyone was into it and it was just amazing.
But it did get seen. Well, one number got seen.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about how you guys became famous on TV.
So it was all thanks to our friend Finn McGregor. He's really good with tech and stuff. And he was like, oh, guys, during the first lockdown, send through your parts for One Day More. And I will collab them all together. And I can we can create a video to share around so we can keep it forever, since we don't have a show. And we all did that and sent it through, and it took about 2 weeks, I think, to get it all together, which was pretty fast. And I was like, damn. But it somehow got shared to One News, and it got broadcasted, which was amazing, and everyone was so happy. So, yeah.
That's so cool. What about you, Stella? What's your most memorable performing experience? Because you're off, like, obviously you'd be from dance.
I've had quite a lot of shows and I've done a few competitions, but my favourite show was last year. We did Snow White and the Seven Dancing Dwarfs, and I was
one of the dwarfs? No?
No.
She's forgotten who she was.
Snow White.
You can feel, you can hear the brain, the cogs turning. It's coming.
So she was in the show. Yeah.
And it was really fun working with everyone. And, yeah, I really enjoyed all the practices and the run-throughs, and I enjoyed working with everyone.
So which dance company do you dance with?
Devonport School of Dance.
There's a plug, Devonport School of Dance. I hope you're listening.
Am I mistaken in saying that Emma worked at Devonport School of Dance? Emma Self?
Maybe.
Okay, I'll be maybe mistaken.
I'm not sure if Emma was at Devonport or not. I think Quinn has been before. And what about you, young man? Tell us about your most memorable performance.
It's more of an experience, not a performance, but how I got into singing and performing was the first time my dad told me, oh, Annan, I've been recommended a choir. I was five at this time. And do you want to check it out? And I was like, yeah, for sure. And I went to my first rehearsal, loved it. That was the lowest choir, and I'm now in the premier choir for them, which I auditioned for earlier this year. Yes.
And what choir was that?
It's the Con Brio Choir. If you don't know what that is, it's North Shore Youth Music, directed by Vanessa Kay and David Kay.
That was how I got into singing. That I was with North Shore Children's Choir, and that's how I, that was like my first ever performing experience. That's insane. I am so happy right now.
He just got very excited in the studio.
Yeah.
So anyway, we have another song from the show. This is Good Girl from Tuck Everlasting. Do you guys want to explain who sings this number in the show? Why is it here?
Mila sings this number. She's a very good and talented singer and performer. Why is it in the show? I guess because it also ties in with lockdown in a way. She's a girl stuck in a house and she really wants to go outside.
And she's not allowed to go anywhere.
Yeah, she's not allowed to go anywhere, but she's too good. She's too good of a person to do anything bad.
Yeah.
So she follows her mum's rules, even though she wants to explore the world.
So this is Good Girl from Tuck Everlasting.
In a house of sad and lonely, on a street street named Maine, but you could call it only. Is it rude to say I'd volunteer for a day of fun just once a year? I'd fly the coop if only I could. But I've got a really bad case of being good. I'd go find trouble if there were some to get in. Ask a friend to play if I had one to let in. Nana's rocker sawing through the floor every day just like the one before. We lock ourselves behind that door. Is it wrong to wish for something more?
Winnie, why did your dress just croak?
Meet my new friend Toad. I found him by the fence.
Winnie, you know better than that. Take that filthy thing outside where it belongs.
Yes, Mother. Good girl Winnie Foster. Every day is in bed at 7. Good girl Winnie Foster. Every day is a well-behaved 11. But some days I want a raise. A little something more than heaven. Well, Toad, we blew it. But at least it got us out of the house. Are you from the wood? I'm not allowed there. Big news, I know. I'm not allowed anywhere. Well, now's your chance to disappear. Go have fun, I'll be right here. Tied to a string like a precious pearl. It's a pretty tight leash for a really good girl. Good girl, Winnie. Something more than heaven. Some days I want a raise. A little something more than heaven.
And that was Good Girl Winnie Foster from Tuck Everlasting.
I swear that sounds like Mila
it
so
does.
Much.
Well,
we're like haunted by her, I'm pretty sure. It's freaky.
It's crazy freaky?
Yes.
So, my next question for the three of you is, what are your plans for performance in the future? Goals, or not even performance, just what are your goals for the future? I mean, Annan, you're quite young. Do you know, have you decided yet what you want to do when you grow up?
No, but I guess the performing arts is one of my talents, but I have other talents as well, such as I like writing, but I like writing very specifically. So I do this thing called the 100-word challenge. If you want to check it out, it's 100wc.net.
So what's that challenge all
it's,
about?
You write. You're given a prompt, so sometimes it's a picture, 5 words, and 5 words that don't really fit together, and you sort of write about it, and sometimes you have to include those 5 words, or you have to write about the picture, and you have to be very specific because it's only 100 words.
Is that an online challenge or is it something you do at school? Or?
It's online, so it's shared throughout the world. People from Ireland do it. But it's probably more specific for primary and intermediate school kids, so if you're like 16, don't bother.
But that's cool. It's good. And in 100 words, you have to probably be quite, like you said, you need to be detailed, but you probably need to be quite selective in the words that you say.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. That sounds great. Cool. It would be a good way to write a song as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I guess it would.
Very good. All right. So you're going to keep doing challenges. Do you like writing?
Yeah, I do. Well, Let's just say last year I hated writing. This year I love writing.
Yeah. What yeah. changed your mind?
Probably my teacher. She sort of changed the way that we learn. She's more, I guess she understands us more. She's very, very understanding, and she is just such a great teacher.
There's a good promo. What's your teacher's name?
Debbie Rafter.
And what school's that at?
Chelsea Primary School.
Chelsea Primary School, if you're listening, you just got a big shout out. That's very cool. So, Stella, what about you? What are your plans for the future?
Well, obviously I love the performing arts, like singing and dancing, but actually my biggest talent is acting, and since I was really young, I've always wanted to be an actress, either on stage or on camera, and it's something that I think is my biggest talent and passion, and I really, really like acting.
Great. So what are you doing to get better at acting other than being an underestimated? Do you go to acting or drama classes?
I did, and then when lockdown rolled around, obviously I couldn't go then, and then I haven't done any since, but I'm going to get back on track.
So what school do you go to?
I go to Belmont Intermediate.
So does that mean you'll be at Takapuna Grammar as well?
Yeah.
In a couple of years?
Yeah.
Because that's a big acting school, I would know. I went there.
And Janaya, what are your plans?
So I've always wanted to be a singer ever since I was little, and performing arts is a great way to express that. So I'm applying actually for a school in London, the Brit School,
mm-hmm.
And I'd be taking a 2-year course over there if I get in, fingers crossed. Which should be exciting.
And is that course in something specific?
Music. So songwriting, learning new instruments, music theory, like collaborating with other artists in England. Yeah.
And so is that more your thing, do you think, the being in a studio and recording songs and being a singer-songwriter, or do you want to be able to hopefully do both singer-songwriter and being on stage?
I would love to do both, which, like, I love them both, so, yeah.
Will it be one of those things that, like, stunt casting and on Broadway where they, like, get the famous singers to do their roles?
Like fingers crossed.
Janae Wadsworth in Mean Girls.
Playing.
I didn't think this far through.
No, I know. Gosh. What's your favourite musical, Janaya?
Les Miserables.
Cool.
That's my favourite musical.
Stella, have you got a favourite musical?
Mean Girls.
Mean Girls. Okay. Anna?
Seussical Junior.
Ah, Seussical.
Yes.
I have to say, Seussical is one of my all-time favourites, especially for school shows. I think it's fantastic for youth theatre because there's so many great roles.
Yeah, and it's just so vibrant and colourful on stage. Mm. Yeah. We did it two years ago, I think, now, and it was like
it was so much fun, and everyone was enjoying it, and it's just one of those plays that you just wish you never stopped doing it.
Yeah.
Exactly. So tell us, guys, how do people find out a little bit more about Underestimated? Where can they go to? Janaya, where can they go to find out more about Underestimated?
You can search Underestimated Cabaret on Facebook, and it should pop up with our profiles. Georgia is posting our cast members' little profiles and giving you little hints about us.
On Instagram as well.
And on Instagram. And
on the North Shore page?
Yes.
Cool. So that's a North Shore Music Theatre on Instagram or Facebook. And how can they get tickets, Anna?
You can go to iticket.co.nz and search up Underestimated.
Great. Easy. And when is it on, Stella?
There are 4 shows, and they are from October the 1st to the 3rd.
So that's school holidays,
including
right?
Including the matinee.
Oh, there's a matinee?
Yes.
Yes.
Great. And is there anything that people need to know? Like, is it table seating, or is it in the built-up seats?
There's both.
Both?
Yeah, both. So there's table seatings.
There's table seatings at the front.
Around the sides.
Front and the sides, yeah. And then at the back they've got.
And then at the very back they've got big bleachers, yeah. I guess you'd call them.
Bleachers, okay, American, and here we go.
And because you are in the show, would you recommend people book? Did people get to choose whether they're, is it general admission or is it, do you get to choose where you sit?
It's
general admission.
Yeah, general admission. Yeah.
Okay. Just, it's a bit more if you want to have the allocated tables for family.
You get to interact more with the cast. And
Yeah. Is that a good thing?
Yes, that is.
At times, it really depends what kind of song it is how we are portraying our characters across to people.
So there's a lot of audience interaction then throughout the show?
That's the main aim that Georgia and the creative team wanted, because we didn't want to just be like, okay, here's a show, we're performing you this, da-da-da. We really wanted just to connect with our audience. Really?
Fantastic.
Name.
Now, we've got a couple of bulletins to read, and then we're going to come back to you before we send you off into the night on a Sunday night.
Yes, we do.
So, first up, announcing Te Uru's next exhibition in their spring season, Wainyul Elevation, showing in Te Uru's Learning Centre Gallery, opens on the 26th of September. Te Uru presents Elevation, an exhibition of new work by Canterbury-based artist Wainyul, made during his studio residency at McCullen House in Titirangi in 2019. Throughout this exhibition, he mixes history with design and sculpture, demonstrating a deep engagement with the legacy of historic artist Colin McColl. Spilling out from Te Uru's Learning Centre Gallery into the stairwell, Elevation is anchored by a large sculpture that cuts across the centre of the gallery. This is based on the famously open-air children's bunk rooms underneath the cottage where the McColl's family lived in the 1950s.
And Northern School of Performing Arts are doing a double bill with Beauty and the Beast Junior and the Music Man Kids at Centre Stage Theatre in Orira. Oh, there it is, from the 30th of September to the 3rd of October. And they also have
their... A very busy time, because they have their inaugural NSPA Theatre Awards happening this Friday, also at Centre Stage. Te Pau Theatre Company has had a really busy week this week for Māori Language Week. They have had another instalment of Front Yard Festivals performing around Tamaki Makaurau. And they've been creating some amazing online content. So if you weren't following, jump onto Te Pau Theatre and check out what's been going on there.
And lastly, this weekend is the opening of Manukau Performing Arts Aladdin Junior at the Spotlight Theatre in Papatoetoe.
And of course we had Meg on the show a couple of weeks ago.
Who's playing Jeannie. I interviewed her.
Yeah, and then her dad came on the show.
Yes.
For Dad's Day.
Yes.
And, of course, we've had their ad running as well. So good luck to everyone in Aladdin who have also, like these guys here with Underestimated, been postponed. So it's great that they're finally ready to go. So, guys, if there's anything you want the listeners to know before you disappear into Sunday night and get some sleep before school tomorrow, it might be about the show, it might be about yourself, it might be about your place in the universe. Jojo, anything at all, what would you like to say as your parting words?
I think on behalf of like Underestimated crew and everyone, the creative team, just get your tickets booked now and you'd have such a great time, and we'd love to see everyone and we'd love to give you our love for musical theatre and performing.
Fantastic.
And make sure you get your tickets fast, because the tables will be gone soon, and I have to say they're probably the best place to be.
Best view.
iticket.co.nz. Look up Underestimated.
See, you should be our co-host, Anna, because you keep plugging where to go. I think that's fantastic.
That's all right. I'll head out. Anna, come around,
Patrick.
Here and you run the board.
All right, bye.
Oh, my goodness. I'd be scared.
I'll get an early night.
Nice. All right, so we've got another song coming up shortly. Stephen is going to be joining us in a minute, but, you know, live theatre, oh, call any time. So
we just
before we do that,
we're going to play a song. And this is Someone Else's Story, which is my favourite song from Chess. And this is from the 2009 Chess in Concert version with Keri Ellis as Svetlana.
Long ago, in someone else's lifetime, someone with my name who looked a lot like me came to know a man and made a promise he only had to say, and that's where she would be. Lately, although her feelings run just as deep, the promise she made has grown impossible to keep. And yet, I wish it wasn't so. Will he miss me if I go? Yesterday, the girl that I was fond of finally could see the writing on the wall. Sadly, she realized she'd left him behind, and sadder than that, she knew he wouldn't even mind. There's nothing left to say. Would he listen if I stay? It's all very well to say, you fool, it's now or never. I could be choosing no choices whatsoever.
Someone Else's Story from Chess, as I said, my favourite song from the show. And on the line, we've got my amazing co-host, who is at Q Theatre. Are you there, Stephen?
Kia ora, Emma and Patrick. Nice to be chatting to you tonight. And what a beautiful song to play before talking to me. Thank you.
That's all right. So tell us, what's going on? How's the first half of the show been?
It's gone really well. We've finally opened. 36 weeks of rehearsals and 3 attempts to open, 2 theatres later, but we've finally opened the show.
That's so exciting.
And how are the kids?
Kids are great. You know, they've had to work really hard in the last 2 weeks. I mean, we went from just a rehearsal stage, hadn't even finished blocking the show, to suddenly going into our second lockdown, to being able to set up at the Q Theatre and jump from that to a run and then dress rehearsal. So it's been pretty intense.
And how are you feeling?
I'm so happy. I mean, to come out on Saturday night and finally see an audience. We've had to follow all the COVID rules, so we've got 100 people safely 2 metres apart from each other. They can't ever meet the cast backstage or at the end of the show. So we're passing all the government legislations for events. So cool to finally do it. And best of all, we're live streaming our final three shows on Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday through iTicket.
So there's still people can get tickets to see Chess online?
Absolutely, yeah. So only families are coming to our live audiences, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday through iTicket, anywhere around the world. And that's the cool thing. We've got people going to be watching the show, relatives from Ireland, Scotland, America, Australia, all able to see it at strange hours of the day and night to watch it live. But how cool is that for grandparents who wouldn't normally get a chance to see their grandkids on the other side of the world?
That's fantastic. And you know what I love? You said that it's only family getting to see the show. And I get to see the show. That means I'm family.
You're family, Emma. You're family. Absolutely. Family and important people that we sneak in.
Well, I'm not being sneaked in. I've got a ticket. So, tell us, who is it for the listeners that don't know? I mean, I know we've talked about it for the last, well, since the start of the year, but the schools involved with the show?
Yeah, so it's led and managed by St. Peter's College with three girls' schools involved. We've got a large number from Marist College, St. Mary's and Barradine. And, you know, for Marist, it's been a really huge year post the COVID cluster. So for them to stand on stage with their mates at St. Peter's is a pretty awesome experience, and we pay a special tribute at the end of the show. I don't want to spoil it for you, Emma, but a special tribute at the end of the show from the Marist Girls back to St. Peter's for making this happen.
Fantastic. Well, how much longer have you got until Act 2 starts?
A few minutes. They're all, you know, filling up the drink bottles. They're exhausted. They've done two shows today and there's a lot of dance. So they're filling up the drink bottles, getting in. We're so lucky to have the beautiful Q Theatre who came on board to help us out in a bit of a crisis, and to perform in this space where professionals have performed is so awesome for these kids. You know, it's things that dreams are made of takes place here, and so cool for the Q Theatre to open up again. They've been closed since, I think it was March or April. So, yeah, awesome for them to have life back into the theatre.
Fantastic.
It's such an awesome stage as well. I love the Q Theatre.
Yeah, so versatile, such a cool space, and, you know, the people have been so generous of their love and their time to make this happen. I just couldn't speak high enough. We're, you know, usually at the wonderful Centennial Theatre, but that was booked, so we've had to make a quick call to move here.
Fantastic. So everything's going fine here. We're missing you. Patrick, though, is coping really well, not only doing the board but talking.
I don't know if I could do both.
You've hit the live button and you're live.
No, everything's going really well. So you can check up on us awesome. Tomorrow morning on our podcast and let us know what you thought. But at least now we know that if one of us is sick in the future, we've got a Patrick to call on.
Absolutely, definitely. Well, thank you, Patrick. And, yeah, look forward to catching up soon and seeing you at the show. And, of course, people can jump onto iTicket and get some of those live stream tickets.
Fantastic. Well, all the best for second half, and I look forward to seeing you on Wednesday night.
Cool. Thanks, guys. Enjoy the rest of your show.
See you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.
That's so cool. There's so many people, you know, finally getting to do their shows.
Yeah, well, obviously you got to do your show this week, finally. Yeah. Expect the Unexpected 2.0.
Yeah, which, as I was saying in some of my posts on social media, it could have been 2.5, we could have called it, because, of course,
We're in level 2.5.
Clever. And we postponed originally because we were meant to, of course, go on just before we went to alert level 3. So it had been postponed. So it was kind of like 2.5 because it was the second time doing it in 2.5.
Well, that's just like a mini victory then.
It was. And like Stephen said, all those regulations, I have to say Harlequin Theatre did an amazing job. We had our front of house ninjas who, I mean, one of the concepts was because it was meant to be, you know, everything's unexpected. So I had told them all, and my backstage crew, no blacks. They had to be in neons and brights and had to be seen. And it worked out perfectly because we had neon masks made by Mask Up NZ,
awesome.
Who are some students that happened to be in the show who had been doing fundraising. So all of our front of house crew were in neon, including masks, and we had two-seat drink service, so you could order drinks from your seat, which were delivered from the bar and pay by FPOS in your seats.
That's perfect.
Yep.
That's
and,
like dream theatre.
So we were joking about the fact that the neon was like their social distancing powers. They had this neon glow so that they couldn't get too close to you. But it was fantastic. So we got to do three shows, between 60 and 70 people per show with the social distancing.
That's still like a really decent number as well.
It's a nice number to have. Obviously, the theatre, it's quite interesting being on the stage and looking out, because you do kind of go, oh, the seats are empty. And you know when you're in the normal thing, when you look out to the theatre and you go, oh, there's so many empty seats. But it was really funny because every now and then I'd look up and go, oh, I thought we had a full house. And then kind of go, oh, that's right. We have got a full house, but it's a full house with social distancing.
Yeah, because I haven't experienced theatre yet in our post-COVID world. So I'm really interested to see. I think Mary Poppins will be my first experience.
Well, today I went up to Lion King Jr. at Orewa.
Oh, yes.
So it was great. Another company who were meant to do their youth production in April, and it's been postponed and postponed. So they're relieved to get it on the road. And of course, being a bigger theatre, they did have 100 in the house, socially distanced.
That's so good.
And that was my first time this time around in Auckland as an audience member. Obviously, I saw a show in Christchurch, but being in the audience this time, it was really interesting. I had my mask on, but when I got into the theatre, you know how the theatre gets hot once the doors are shut and the lights are on?
Yeah.
I found it really, I actually did take my mask off because you know how the rows at centre stage are really big anyway? Like there's a lot of distance between you and the row in front. So I didn't feel like people were really close to me. So I felt okay about taking my mask off. But I was getting really claustrophobic sitting in the theatre with my mask on. So, but I have to say, it's nice to have that choice.
Of wearing a mask.
Of wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. But if I was told I had to wear the mask for the whole time, of course I would have. I'd rather wear a mask for the whole time than not have the opportunity to see something.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's the real big debate that's going on at the moment. Listeners, you may have seen in the paper and on Breakfast talk about theatres and ticketing and what it's meant for local theatre and professional theatre not to be able to have the choice. You know, the government have given the chance, you know, the choice of public transport and the need to not social distance but have to wear a mask. And I think we can do that in theatre. I think it's time that people should have the choice to be able to go to theatre or not, as long as the regulations are being followed.
Well, because the first lockdown, we were all very much just like, okay, all theatres close, we'll see you guys in a couple months. But I think this time round, we were very persistent in making sure that our stories finally get told, because, you know, we've been waiting 9 months and it's been one of the hardest hit industries in this.
Yeah, so fingers crossed. We've got an announcement tomorrow, obviously, from Jacinda. That I'm assuming it's going to put us into level two in Auckland. So fingers crossed that our restrictions get lifted from 10 for gatherings. Obviously for theatre, we didn't count as a gathering, we're an event, so we're allowed 100 socially distanced in Auckland anyway. But hopefully we step one step further. And I mean, would be lovely.
There's been hardly any cases the past week. So.
No, we've been doing really well. But anyway, speaking about COVID and what COVID's like and affecting people around the world, Patrick and I were lucky enough this week to catch up with Emma and Michael Self, yes, who have recently left New Zealand to go to the UK.
So here is the interview now.
So now we're joined by some international guests who are rising in the world of musical theatre. Welcome to Kick Arts, Michael and Emma.
Thank you very much for having us.
First of all, tell us a little bit about who you guys are.
I'll start then. I'm Emma Self. I'm 19 years old, and I've just moved to London with my brother to start a new adventure that we are on.
My name's Michael. I'm 17, and I am that brother.
So for our listeners, what were you doing prior to moving to London?
Wow. I mean, during our lives, we were building up to this moment, doing lots of training and having lots of experiences that kind of got us ready for this journey. But in terms of short term, in about the last year, we were just doing last minute training, getting our monologues together, going through our songs with our singing teachers, and going over ballet, jazz, all those basic technique things that you need to know for your audition.
Personally, I was finishing school in the time they came over here. So during the whole pandemic, that was quite stressful. But it all worked out in the end, and we're here now. Things are exciting.
Yeah, and obviously I've been a few years out of school now, so I was just doing my jobs, trying to save as much money as I could before coming over here, because obviously with the study that we are lucky enough to do, there's not a lot of time for a job. So it was really important for me that I knew I was somewhat of financially stable before coming over.
Tell us where in New Zealand you were from.
We're both from Auckland on the North Shore. More specifically, we come from Devonport, which is a nice little part of the peninsula. And yeah, we loved it there.
And tell us some more about your training. Who were your mentors and who was training you over here?
So I'm pretty fresh to this whole thing. I've been doing it for a few years, mainly through school with Robert Dill, Brewster Grew and Mrs. Crines as my teachers, as well as getting vocal training from Patrick Kelly. I've been doing dance for a long, long time through Northern School of Performing Arts, and I've been with Spring South Acting Agency for a few years now.
Yeah, and then I started off starting dance at what is now known as Neverland, but then through my dance training, I changed a few times. I went to Studio 246, and then I went to Northern School of Performing Arts, which I stayed for the rest of my training, and then became a teacher 2 years ago there. I also started singing when I was younger. I think I was 7 or 8 years old, and I started with Catherine Carr. And then through school, I was with Patrick Kelly, and now I'm with Caroline Everett. And they have all helped me so much in so many different ways with my voice, which definitely gave me the confidence to do what we're doing now. And then over the years, we've had various acting coaches, just one-offs. And obviously, we were both heavily involved with Junior Theatre Festival, with the lovely Emma Bishop, which we love and helped us grow so much. And all the mentors there are just awesome. Yeah.
So you guys said you're quite busy for your standard day with your course. What does your typical week look like from Monday to Friday with all your courses?
Right, so it's quite up in the air at the moment. Obviously, because of coronavirus over here, it's kind of changed what the setup would usually look like. So we had our first week last week, and the timetable was quite basic. We were just in either in the morning or the afternoon for 3 hours, and that was it. But this week, they've added Zoom classes. So we'll still go in the morning or the afternoon for our 3 hours, but then the other half of the day, we'll be doing our Zoom classes in our tiny little house over here, which gets very hot, but it's what we love. So it's good. Yeah.
So obviously with this whole coronavirus, everything's been a bit up in the air, as you said. Were you guys nervous about leaving the sanctuary of New Zealand to go into England, which is one of the epicentres in Europe, at least?
Definitely think the thought crossed our mind.
Personally, was quite anxious about the whole thing. I'm quite an anxious person in general. I tend to overthink things. So for me personally, I was thinking about it all the time. Made sure I was wearing my mask in the airport, hand sanitizer, all that stuff. Really did that hardcore. But actually, when you get here, everyone is genuinely pretty safe. And with the way that the school is set up, we don't have any concerns for that kind of thing. And as long as we keep ourselves safe, that's all that matters to us.
Yeah, and that's the school's top priority as well.
Yeah.
Like, they're making sure that we all feel comfortable.
Yeah.
So are you the only internationals in your course, or what kind of makeup is your classes?
We do have, not in our group specifically, so we're all in groups of 10. And because of coronavirus, we haven't been able to mingle with other groups. So everyone in our group is from around here, but I do know that there is a girl from Australia who is on the diploma course, and there are two girls from Cyprus and Greece, doing the course as well.
And everyone else generally is in the UK.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Now, you guys aren't new to being in international waters, so tell us a little bit about your other journeys you've had over the years in preparation for training.
Primarily in preparation for training, we've been to New York City a couple times through school and of our own accord during holidays, getting experience with junior theatre, meeting people from Broadway shows, getting a bit of a behind-the-scenes look and just seeing how it all happens and making sure that this was the career we wanted to pursue.
Yeah, really starting to getting those connections and talking to people about the industry, making sure that it is the path that we want to go on, and just getting advice on how people made that possible in their lives.
So if you could give some advice to other young New Zealanders wanting to do this as a career, I know you're only just starting out, but what piece of advice, especially for getting into international schools even?
I would say know your stuff. Make sure you know it as far out in advance as you can, especially for your audition. They love people that are prepared. They love people that show their personality, that are really easygoing but really hardworking. So making sure you're comfortable with all your stuff so that when you do get to that audition, your nerves kind of don't make you forget any of the words because you know it so well. But in terms of the actual training, I would say brush up on those dance techniques. They definitely don't go right back to the basics, so it's really important that you have somewhat of a foundation of the general styles, especially ballet and jazz, tap not so much, but just making sure you at least know some steps and the technique behind it, so that when you get here, you don't feel like you're lagging miles behind. You think, right, I know the basics, and now it's time to grow on those.
I would say make sure you have a good understanding of who you are. Know where you come from, know your story, know your strengths, know your weaknesses, and understand that all those things are okay. They make you you, and they're important going forward because that's what's going to give you the difference between the other 200 people going for the same job. You need to make sure that you keep true to yourself and where you come from.
It's really easy to get inside your head and compare yourself in the industry that we're in. And you just have to remember that, you know, everyone's different and you bring different things to the table. And people love you for being individual. So you just got to really embrace who you are. Yeah.
Fantastic. And, of course, over in New Zealand at the moment, it's Kia Kaha Te Reo Māori, Te Wiki Week. So Te Reo Language Week. So, of course, you're proud New Zealanders. So yes. Did you brush up on a waiata to introduce yourselves before you left?
I've been singing the song Whakamoemiti on guitar. I wish I had brought my guitar with me.
Yeah, so that's
I need
fun.
To
Maybe
find one to be able to practice it. I know the Stan Walker version of that.
Fantastic. Well, fly that Te Reo flag wherever you go. Make, you know, be proud. Be proud of people from Aotearoa. So, girls and boys, listeners, these guys are doing what they love, and the passion shows through. I know we're on a Zoom call, which you can't see, but their smiling faces all the way from over there, you wouldn't guess that they were on the other side of the world at nighttime. Patrick and I are sitting here at 7:30 in the morning. And guys, what time is it over there at the moment?
It's about 8:45 at night.
So I suppose at least that's nice for contacting your parents. It's like that 12-hour almost gap.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And did Mum go over with you or did you guys do it alone?
She came for 3 weeks because we couldn't get into our place straight away. And obviously we had all these international type things to sort out.
Yeah.
So it was a big process and we really couldn't have done it without her. She's been amazing.
Yeah, we spent a good couple of weeks painting, building furniture, organizing bank accounts, all that sort of thing that comes with moving countries.
Yeah.
So a bit of a shameless plug then. If people want to follow your journey, how do people follow the selves? Maybe it should be a new Instagram page.
Combined. I'm on Instagram at M, so E-M underscore self, which is S-E-L-F.
I'm at michael.wself.
And we're both on Facebook as well.
Fantastic. Well, guys, wishing you all the best for your journey.
Thank you.
Kick Arts would love to stay up to date, maybe a vlog or a bit of maybe for your first performance, a bit of an Instagram takeover for the New Zealanders to see what it's like.
Sure.
You know, really excited for what you're doing. Patrick, anything you'd like to say before we finish?
I shared a bed with Michael in New York. Oh, that's a blast.
That's a good claim to fame. So everybody, our lovely intern Patrick shared a bed with Michael in New York. Mike, when you get your first Tony Award, you better make sure you acknowledge Patrick, because I'm sure. Have a fantastic time. Can't wait to see the photos. And thank you so much for being available for Kick Arts to talk this morning.
Thank you so much for having us.
So that was Emma and Michael, and Michael mentioned a waiata which he is singing over there from Stan Walker. So here is Stan Walker's Whakamoe Miti.
Keep on.
was Whakamoe Miti by Stan Walker.
Well, that was a great show tonight, Patrick. Tell us, how do you feel having operated and spoken?
It got a lot easier throughout the day, at night, I should say. By the end of it, I feel confident. But certainly at the start, I was, like, very stressed, and it was like, could only focus on one thing at a time. But I feel like a pro now.
Cool, we got there. That's fantastic. So, of course, remember, if you are out in anywhere in New Zealand, and in fact, if you're anywhere in the world and you want to tell us about what you're doing in the arts, any kind of arts, any job within the industry, it doesn't necessarily have to be as a performer, get in touch with us. We can pre-record you via Zoom like we did with Emma or Michael.
Yeah.
Or you can contact us by... Or you can come on the show, of course, if you're in Auckland, or we can phone you if you're somewhere in New Zealand.
The options are endless.
They are endless. And, of course, we can promo you via our social media as well. So you can find us at...
KickArtsNZ.
.nz, KickArts.nz on Instagram. I just pointed at Patrick. He didn't know I was going to say that. I wanted to see if he had learnt our sites yet.
You'd think after a week of constantly being on it, I would, but I didn't.
Or Facebook, KickArts. Or, of course, you can email us your information at...
KickArts1@gmail.com. I knew that one.
Cool. So either for yourself or make sure you dob in someone else. So wishing you all a very happy good week, and hoping that Jacinda gives us the news that we want tomorrow. And, of course, we hope that you go out there this week and...
kick some arts.
And to finish up, here's Bic Runga with Sway, but, of course, the Te Reo version of Haere Mai Ra.
Kei ko titi, kei haere atu koe, me mato ke ake aho, ko te ra ke runga ko o ke raro. Ka tutsuki ta wa, anone ko koe to kumwana, huti ake kei toro mi ao. Tuku aho, ko koe te tino take, ane aho, te tae te aha, te haratone i tō ingoa, ki atu o ki a koe ka ore i tika, te mata i a koe, ngā mea whai tikanga, kia maringi mai i te waha, ko e ke rā ki tu ki atu, ki a koe e pono ana. I huri rapa e toku au, e tipu nei te pokaku take o ana au. Wana kore ana, ko hiri kapo ki te ngako, te arora me aha, inaia nei kua kawa, kia reka te ahi ahi.
Shabba dabba doo.